Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
NFL Hall of Famer John McClain, and it's a world-famous segment that we're about to get started, leg hiking. Basically, we throw our opinions at the Hall of Famer, myself and John Lopez, and he either agrees with them or he hikes his leg all over him. But before we get into that, I want to ask this. We know that the Texans' organizational structure is flatter, and we know that it's going to be there's going to be a lot of teamwork there, and Brian Gain is no longer the guy in charge, who, by the way, just got a job with the Buffalo Bills. This is important to only media types like myself and John Lopez. Like, let's say that the Texans pull off a huge trade. If I come on the air at 10 a.m., who am I supposed to give the credit to? If I want to give credit to, do I just give it credit to the group as a whole? Who's the main person, if the Texans pull off a trade, that I, in 2019, Landry Locker, should give credit to? A huge trade.
If you go a big trade, then you'd have to give Cal McNair credit, as we always, the McNairs, because they got to pay the money. And then the one that would pull it off would be Bill O'Brien. Now, I don't know this because he's only been here since April 1st. Maybe Jack Easterby is good at negotiating trades, but O'Brien is the personnel expert here. Bill is the one in charge of personnel. So I guarantee you Bill O'Brien is going to be the one doing the talking, and before he pulls the trigger on a big trade, he will get Cal McNair's approval on the money and say the player's got one more year left on his contract and what they expect to have to play. And before they did it, O'Brien would talk to the position coaches, the coordinators, the pro personnel guy, Rob Kissel, and then Matt Bazergan, the head of player personnel.
All right. It's funny, though, because I'm just nervous about everything that O'Brien's going to have on his plate, because you just said, you know, he would have to pull it off. That means phone calls. That means agents. That means everything on top of his regular day-to-day routine. Now,
he wouldn't be dealing with agents. Chris Olsen would be doing that.
Well, but I'm saying, but somebody's, like you just said, I mean, somebody's, he's going to be the one kind of making the deal. At some point, he would have to deal with an agent.
If he had to deal with an agent, I would imagine he'd have Chris Olsen do that. And once Chris said, okay, here's what the guy wants,
right,
then do we still want to go after him? And then it would be up to O'Brien. He'd talk to Cal McNair, and Cal would say, okay, we'll do it. We'll pay it or we won't. So go or don't do it.
All right, let's start some McClain leg hiking here. The Astros don't need to make a trade. Jeff Luhnow threw this out there yesterday. We expect them to make a trade eight days from the trade deadline. But the Astros, in order to win a World Series, do not need to make a trade.
Hike it.
I'm with you, John.
Because what if they don't and Wade Miley gets a sore shoulder? Not only do I think to win a World Series they need another starter, I still think they need a lefty who can get one left-handed hitter out in the playoffs out of the bullpen.
Well, not only that, playoffs are just a whole different world. You can talk all you want about good performances you're getting from certain pitchers here and there, especially lately, but you need that pedigree when you get to the postseason.
They need Peacock to be back to be in a long role in the bullpen in the playoffs. Miley's the third starter. If they had somebody better than Miley, that would make them be the favorite. Right now, Yankees are looking for starting pitching. A lot of people think the Twins will fade, but, man, can they hit? The Indians are closing fast on Minnesota. You've got to make a deal. You cannot stand pat.
Yordan Alvarez will win Rookie of the Year.
Absolutely not. I wish he would. Just think if that kid had been up for 2 months before. And I don't blame them. They'll say it had to do with ability, but we all know it's financial, and we'll probably be glad.
John, I think he's got a real chance.
Do you? I don't.
I really
not
do.
I'd have to miss. He's in the American League, and, they brought up.
It sounds crazy,
they brought
but
up
I think
Guerrero
he's got a real chance.
Before he came up, and he's gotten all the publicity for being the top prospect in the draft. plus the fact that he was so great in the home run derby. And
The latest MLB.com poll had Brandon Lowe as the leader. Brandon Lowe has, let me just throw some numbers out at you, 279 at-bats. Yordan has 117 at-bats, all right? So much less than half the number of at-bats that the leader, so-called leader of the MLB Rookie of the Year race has. So now let me get you some numbers. Hits 77-40. This is Brandon Lowe first. Home runs 16-11. Batting average 276-342. RBI 49-35. He's got 35 RBI in
first 30 games.
It sounds crazy. I think he's by the end of the season. I think Yordan's going to be the favorite to
win. I hope you're right, but I think they'll hold it against him that he didn't play for the first 2 months, because last night it wasn't his home run that was the best hit he had.
The double?
It was hitting a ball outside pitch down the left field line for a double, because he can hit to the opposite field. He can hit breaking balls. He can hit lefties, and he can hit two-strike pitches. That's why this guy is a real deal.
All right, let's continue the Yordan Alvarez hype train here on McLean Leg Hiking with Landry and Lopez, Sports Radio 610. Yordan Alvarez, when he finishes his career, will have 450 homers or more than Jeff Bagwell's 449.
Oh, we absolutely know that. That's true after he's hit 11.
I figure this is on me. I meant to tell you to have the audio ready so you don't, but we have the audio from Pat Fitzgerald. Maybe he can get that going. Pat Fitzgerald was talking about why there is a declining attendance in college football. And it was bizarre to me, because I think there's one reason why there's declining attendance in college football. This was Pat Fitzgerald.
I think phones, I think technology has been the decline in attendance, number one. You know, Stacey and I were out on a date last night, and it just drove me up to, I literally wanted to be like a dad and go like, give me your phone, talk to each other. I mean, this is pathetic. So it was really, really pathetic. And I think that's just, it's just changed the way a lot of younger people and younger fans intake is all through technology. And I mean, you watch a concert and everybody's holding their phone up. Like, listen, watch, take it in, create a memory. Because they don't go back and watch the videos. They just want to post it on their social media, which is pathetic, because it creates a society of, look at me, isn't my life great? Even though when they go home, they're like, I hate myself, I hate my life, everything's wrong.
All right, well, see, I think he was kind of going
down
the right
path. He was on to something originally,
but he was off,
yes.
Right. He said cell phones are the problem for declining attendance. First of all, your thoughts, hike or no hike?
I think he's right, and that a lot of people, especially 20-something people, they want to see things that they're holding in their hand. They don't want to go, and they don't want to fight the crowds and all that. But certain places, it's not down. You know, in the SEC, it's certainly not down.
Right.
A lot of it depends on the product you put on the field. But I agree that technology is keeping – a lot of people can see it at home.
I think it's a
– why do they need to go to a game and see it?
I think it's a factor, but ticket prices is number one. If he wants to – but he's not going to criticize his own athletic department.
Well, of course not.
Ticket prices – we went through some of the average ticket prices. We're talking average ticket prices in big-time programs of $200
and
$250.
And that's not counting PSLs, a lot of them.
Exactly.
And when you
lower
figure
your
in
prices,
parking,
and you'll get more people
and everything.
Yeah.
It's astronomical.
Mm-hmm. It's John McLean Leg Hiking. What's coming up in the Chronicle, John?
I'm headed over to do a Facebook Live from noon to 12:30, which will be my new time. Then I've written 5 takeaways about the Texans camp. Should be on Texas Sports Nation. Tomorrow I'll have a podcast and another column. And then Thursday I will see you guys at training camp.
All right. We'll be out there,
thank
by the way.
Thank you guys very much. You'll be out there all day, every day, right?
And all day, every day.
It'll 8 hours.
It'll
be a lot of fun.
And next time we talk to you, Texans training camp will be in full swing. We're 2 days away. That's NFL Hall of Famer John McLean.
Thank
Landry
you guys
Locker,
very much.
John Lopez in the loop, Sports Radio 610. The latest on Pro Bowl offensive tackle Trent Williams and whether or not the Texans can still make a move and bring in a new starting left tackle. That's next in the hit.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.